America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What are the Mets doing last night? We've hammered Mendoza. We've hammered Pete Alonso. That's a game, BT, where they had to win. You don't want to go to an elimination game on the road against the Brewers, who have been a better team than the Mets all year long as far as the record goes, winning their division. The Mets had an opportunity to put them out last night, and they didn't do it. A very, very frustrating game from the Mets' perspective.
I've always lived by the mindset, if you're going to go down, you've got to go down with your best. And the worst thing, you know, it's just, and not just with sports, but anything in life, like if you don't go all the way and you come up a little short, man, that's tough to live with. Now, the good thing is the Mets get a chance to, you know, make good on that tonight here. But to leave Diaz in the bullpen in the eighth inning last night to me was definitely egregious. Mendoza's had a great year. And listen, there's no guarantee because, you know, Diaz has been throwing a lot. The 26 pitches on Sunday, I think it was 40 on Monday, whatever it was. They were very matchup specific. I listened to the postgame press conference. Mendoza had his reasoning. I disagree with it, but he did lay it out well. And I guess he remained true to his conviction there. But, you know, you got to take your biggest swing there. And when you've got the top of the order for a lineup that is not very potent and doesn't get very deep, I would have much preferred take a chance Diaz versus 1, 2, and 3 in the order and get to 4, 5, and 6 later and get there and get ready for the Phillies.
I didn't have a major problem with that. I had a major problem taking Manaea out of the game when they did. I didn't think there was any way the Mets would win that game if they only get 5 innings out of Sean Manaea. The issue that I have with Mendoza, and there are a lot of things you can nitpick at, I don't even have a big problem with that. I have a problem with him thinking that the plan is going to go accordingly, where when you watch that game, you had to expect that it was going to go off script. And he didn't manage as if it was going to go off script. He managed as if, okay, well, I'm going to bring Garrett in, check. I'm going to bring in Stanek, check. I'll bring in Maton, check. Get the Diaz, and they're going to protect a one-run lead. Even the defensive replacements, taking Vientos out of the game in a one-run game. Like, you can't do that. You have to anticipate that it might go off script. He managed that game like a data applicator. The night before, you give him all the credit in the world. He's been managing well with the balance, with his gut, with the analytics, using all the information. Last night, to me, Carlos Mendoza managed the game like a data applicator, and he got beat because of it. And he wasn't the lone reason. It'd be nice if Pete Alonso actually got a big hit for once. Again, BT had the chance to set the tone right out of the gate. Hits into a double play. He trips over his bat on the way to first base. Enough with Pete. Like, my initial thought was, can anybody else play first base? Now, they're not going to do that. Maybe they drop him in the lineup tonight, but Pete Alonso is absolutely killing this team.
That's a very tough loss. That's the bad news, and that's also the obvious news. The good news is that the Mets have shown this disposition, this character, this high level of baseball integrity to bounce back. And, yeah, maybe just it's not in their 2024 script to make it easy. If they would have won last night, or if Pete, instead of banging into a double play and tripping all over himself, you know, rockets a 3-run bomb and the Mets are up 4-0 instead of 1-0, or, you know, they had the base loaded later in the game with, was that Iglesias, I think it was?
Yes, with Iglesias.
You know, if he knocks a 2-run single and they win the game, it would have been a little bit too easy, you know, or if they get the outs that they tried to get that they didn't, or if Manaea would have stayed in the game and pitched better or gone longer and got more outs like Seve got the night before. This Mets team is deep, and this Mets team is battle-tested, and I still think the pressure is all on the Brewers here. I mean, no matter what anybody says, yeah, maybe the momentum went a little back to the Brewers last night because as the game progressed, they started to look like the Brewers on the bases, you know, out of the bullpen and playing defense. But tonight, it's going to be 40,000 Brewer fans there just about who expect to win. And if the Mets can jump out and just smack them early, and even if it's one or two runs, I mean, it is completely tilted, and it's going to get heavy for the Brewers.
Okay, now, remember a caller called before and was like, hey, you got to get, you know, stop with the yelling and screaming. I feel like I've got it out of my system now.
All right, turn the corner.
Well, we've been doing it for 2 hours here. In case you missed it, check out on the free Odyssey app. I think I'm over. I'm starting to feel like I'm over last night's loss. And now we can look ahead. And the common thought today is, oh, how are you feeling? Like, we see people in the newsroom. Lou Gowra, what is positive, Tommy? I told him, I go, bro, did you see his tweets last night?
I did not.
Stay positive. I was this close to tweeting, shut the F off, read the room. Like, read the room. It's not a positive room right now on Mets Twitter. Anyway, I'm starting, everybody's asking what's the feel. I got to be honest with you. I don't have a feel anymore. Coming into the series, I thought this was a bad matchup for the Mets. After watching game one, I felt like I expected. Howie Rose said the same thing yesterday with us. We expected the Mets to figure out a way to get there. And then after last night, the way that they lost that game, I mean, the team has been resilient all year long. Sure, this is what they've done. This is where they've thrived. I have zero gut feel about what's going to happen tonight. I'm excited to just sit back and watch the ball game. I know it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be intense, all those different things. But I honestly don't have a gut feel as to which way this is going to go.
Quintana, I mean, the rope's got to be short.
I think it will
real
be.
Short.
I like Quintana, but this is it now. This is this win or go home. Season on the line here. Everything's got to be short tonight. You can't be messing around. I do think the Brewers are going to be tight. At home, they still are. Now, the momentum shifted.
Well, that's what I said.
And there's going to be an expectation from them that, okay, well, now we're back in it. We just need to win one game at home, and we're going to move on. But I still feel like they have the pressure more so than the Mets do, which I think should favor the Mets a little bit, but who the hell knows?
I think they definitely have the pressure there. You know, I wish Lindor, and it's not his fault, he looks compromised now. I'm starting
to catch up with him a little bit.
I'm starting to see a swing that's not as...
It wasn't even clean in the field, which is not...
Yeah, I know. I don't even know if that's just a mental thing or just a circumstantial thing. I mean, the throws are a little wide. He booted, Pete bailed him out a few times. But he did make that great play early in the game where he went up the middle and he kind of spun around and got him by. They didn't even review that. I thought they were going to. They got the call right. I just feel like the bat is dragging a little. And is that because he's tired? Because he played a lot of baseball? No. It's probably because of the back.
But you know what? It might take him to get... Yeah, I mean, the Mets, they may not have needed Pete all year long, and it obviously would help if he could produce, but if Lindor doesn't come up big tonight, how do you draw up that they're going to win a game? Like, they may need him. All right, first two games, whatever. Yeah. They may need Lindor to have an impactful offensive night tonight.
Okay, before we get back to the calls here, is there anything you do lineup-wise, whether it's a Winker Martinez thing, whether it's an Acuna thing, whether it's a Bader thing?
Martinez out for me, Winker back in.
Me too. I said that yesterday. I'm going to throw the Winker.
I'd drop Pete in the order.
To what, seven?
I'd potentially
Six?
Move Alvarez up.
Where are you dropping Pete? Seven?
Let's look at it here. Where was he? Five last night?
He was
night?
Five.
Lindor, Iglesias, Vientos, Nimmo, or some concoction of that.
Yep.
Even if you go Nimmo third, Vientos fourth, I'm fine with that. I'd probably go Winker then. Actually, I'd move up Marte. I might move Marte up
Marte
five.
Marte looks pretty good. He's running well.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll move Marte up five.
Okay.
Winker six. Yeah, I'll probably drop Pete seven.
Petey seven, huh? Man. Pete's- Now, I wonder, like, remember when they... This is crazy. That
Hoff, what'd you just say?
I'd say I'd drop Alonso off at the airport.
Yeah, you're done with him, huh?
I mean, at this point, yeah.
I'd drop him the seventh. Hoff, I'd drop him off at the airport. That's the next stop. He's going to get it done tonight.
Here's the problem, though. Remember when Torrey dropped A-Rod in that Tiger series?
Yes, it was a huge deal.
Oh, my God, that was massive. Now...
We brought it up to him. Didn't we bring it up to him and his wife when we had them on at the his golf thing? I thought we did. Cause she
oh,
was saying,
we did,
remember,
yes.
She was saying, like, sometimes he would come home and tell me. And I jokingly said,
that was about
A-Rod?
We did bring that up. Yeah, we did. The more, like, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. While you can make the baseball case, dropping Pete is the right thing to do, but if you drop him.
You lose him totally.
Do you lose him even more?
Probably. He's not a guy that would. I don't think Pete's the guy that would respond to that.
Me neither.
He'd go the other way. He might be pouting in the dugout if you do that. Yeah, I still just think, though, I mean, when you're talking about confidence level in offensive players, Marte has risen up the charts. So I think he's had a good series, so I would move him up. I still trust Winker in the lefty bat more so than I do J.D. Martinez. I mean, am I going to go nuts if Pete's hitting fifth or sixth? I'm not.
You're not.
But.
You're not.
But he keeps coming up in big spots, and he keeps killing them. Like, at some point, who would you rather have up tonight? Two outs, first inning.
I think anybody but Pete.
Okay,
honestly,
so,
anybody but Pete.
So then you have to drop him in the order. Like,
they're not
very...
going to. They're not.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Rob is in Tom's River. What's up, Rob?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
What's going on, man?
Love the both of you, Sal. I love you so much. I have your Twitter notifications on because you and I are in sync with our opinions on everything.
Appreciate
while
that.
You're very welcome. Well, I don't blame Mendoza last night for anything. I do agree he got cute with the moves with Maton and not going directly to Diaz, but there is absolutely no excuse for leaving 9 runners on base.
Yep.
And they had this guy Piance on the ropes again. They have his number, and they let him off. And there I knew that this game was not going to go the way we wanted it to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was just that, and thank you for the call, Rob. I had an issue. You knew all night long, like, we were hoping that it was going to hold up, but you knew it wasn't going to hold up. And the Mets missed opportunities right out of the gate in the first inning with Alonso to break the game open. They had to change everything. He couldn't do it. Manaea, you know, giving a run right back. That's not a good sign early on. Only going 5 innings. Once Manaea was taken out of the game, once they started showing him handshaking in a dugout after 5, I was like, oh, this is not going to be a good night. Iglesias in the 6th inning with the bases loaded, not getting it done. All the bullpen arms coming out. Like, I thought Reed Garrett was going to blow it. I thought eventually somebody was going to blow it. Diaz, potentially. I mean, it is what it is, BT. It was a tight game. I don't think Mendoza had a good game.
It's not easy. Not easy. Not easy going.
Well, all the other teams made it look easy by sweeping their series.
Well, but I mean, when I say not easy, it's not easy to get to where you guys want to get and eventually win the World Series. These are the checkpoints, and they are, I mean, they just twist your guts inside and out. That's all there is to it. I mean, the other option, and I know nobody would sign up for this, the other option, if you're a Mets fan right now, you're listening to all Yankees talk on the radio, right?
Yeah.
And you are preparing for a season of shopping in the discount rack where Soto's not even a pipe dream and you get a C-minus outfielder and maybe you find a middle-of-the-rotation arm and you try to piece together another nothing season like so many other nothing Mets seasons. This is it. You want to swim with the big boys. This is the pressure cooker time.
Yeah.
This is fun. This is, you know, pressure's a privilege. Well, Boomer said it. He's right.
And the greater, you know, the win, obviously, you're in the postseason, the bigger the game, the greater the feeling for a sports fan when you win those games, but also the more it hurts.
Like, correct.
If last night didn't mean anything, we wouldn't be angry and yelling and screaming. But this is it. And tonight's going to be even more. I don't think I'd be angry if they lost tonight. I think I'd just be terribly disappointed. Like, the anger was last night. I don't know. We get to see how it plays out. But if they lost, I don't think anger is the first emotion that would come to my mind. It was yesterday. I think I'd just be almost devastated that it's over.
I mean, you know yourself better than me, but if Pete strikes out with the bases juiced,
I'd be angry with him, sure.
I think that'll turn into anger pretty fast.
Now, wait, Pete's up in a big spot
come
with
on,
the
Pete,
game on the line.
Just wake up, dude. Just do something. We can do something,
they got to pinch hit for him. I'm sorry.
They're not doing it.
If that's the spot, no chance.
There's no chance. Two outs,
down a run, bases loaded. Pete Alonso coming.
Who you sending up there? I mean, come on.
Acuna. I mean,
I would consider playing Acuna tonight. I know that they won't.
Vientos at first, Acuna at second, Iglesias at third.
I'm not going to go that nuts. I mean, you got to ride this thing out with Pete. Moving on with him after the season's one thing. Pete's playing tonight, and he's getting every at bat.
Acuna in center instead of Tyrone Taylor?
I might. He can run into a 3-run bomb, man. I might. His bat's got life, and I like Taylor. I like him. Going back to the first game when we read the lineup on the air, you and I were both pumped up. We're like, that is a good addition, but
he's a winning player. But
I know he is.
Could also have him off the bench in case you need to pinch hit for Pete.
I mean, Acuna's a pretty small sample winning player as well. I don't know. I think he's.
One person, BT, did not want to see Edwin Diaz in that game last night is Gail in Bayonne. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
What's
Gail?
Up?
Well, I have to make this call because it drives me crazy how everybody is saying Mendoza made a mistake by not bringing Diaz in. When I see Diaz warming up in a big situation, my skin crawls. To me, he's a Benitez or a Familia. He blows games. That would have been a terrible decision.
But he's still the best you got.
I don't know about that.
No, he
I don't
is,
know
Gail.
About that. He's a head case, though. I know he probably has the best stuff.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a pressure situation on his hands, I don't think he can handle the pressure.
So tonight, really you don't want to see it with a 3-2 lead in the ninth? I mean, it should be the same thought.
No.
Well, what?
No, I actually like Buto better than him.
Diaz
has great stuff, but if that game is on the line and you put him in a pressure, that's it. Game over.
Wow. Well, guess what? If they are in that spot, Gail, he's coming in, and thank you for the call. I mean, I am not totally in disagreement with Gail. I don't think Diaz is mentally tough. I know he came back out and got the job done and was emphatic, slamming his glove, but he shouldn't have to be in that spot in the first place. You had a 3-run lead. Like, go get the job done to start with, not a do-over. And not on the golf course with your buddies. Hey, can I get a mulligan? No, you're in the game, bro. You just hit one off the tee. You got to hit it from where it is. Drop a ball, whatever, but you're taking a penalty. And that's what that was. Diaz in a big spot makes you tight. Man, he's their best option, but he makes you tight.
How many mulligans you take with Recco that day?
Dude.
I take them all the time. I don't care what anybody thinks. I just take as many as I want.
I lost at least 14 balls
no
that day.
No way.
Yeah. 14? I had just like, I needed to get new balls anyway because it's been so long since I played. Yeah. So I have a mishmash of whatever's in there. I had
some
maybe a couple.
Top Flights, McGregor's,
yeah, exactly. You know. Whatever I could pick up, you know, fine.
Noodles.
What are you hitting? I have no idea. Yeah. Title is, yeah, whatever. But I had, so when I first started playing, I had a regular like, a Top Flight left over, like a case, a pack of three.
Okay.
So I was playing with that. But dude, when I played with Jerry, they were all gone. That's it.
14?
Into the woods, yeah. Into the trees, forget it, just leave it.
I mean, I've been there.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, I hit that one pretty well. Did you see it? He's like, yeah, it was off the bridge into the water. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that can't be salvaged.
Sometimes, even if I think I could find it, I'm playing so poorly, I'm just like, I think I know where it is. I'm not even going to give it the satisfaction of looking for it. I just leave it there. I don't care.
Derek is in Sheldon. What's up, Derek?
Derek, what's going on, bud?
What's going on, guys?
Hey. Hi, Derek.
How are you, Pat? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We're good. Go ahead.
First time in a very long time. Matter of fact, as I was listening to you guys, I was thinking about it. Career musician, so I was doing the third shift a lot, and I would always call in around playoff time and talk to my boy Tony Page. Man, I hope he's doing well. Always a fan favorite of his. So what I want to talk about today is, well, for starters, I'm 4 years in on a stage 4 prostate cancer diagnosis. And the reason I bring that up, one, because it's Prostate Awareness Month, and I just want to put that out there. And the other thing is, I've noticed since I got this diagnosis, not a deeply religious guy, but I've been questioning my faith. And I am a lifelong Mets, Jets, Knicks, and Rangers fan. And I thought this was going to be the year that I restored my faith. With the Jets, with the Mets, and I woke up this morning disappointed, not going to lie. And then I turn on the fan, and I hear Sal, and I became angry. Sal is like the Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow of sports media. So thank you for that. I needed to express that emotion today. But I finally, and Sal will appreciate this. Because
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
I think that, like, at least a lot of the fans I listen to, if you're a longtime Mets fan, like we are, it is part of your DNA waiting for the other shoe to drop. I just don't know any other way to say it. And even in this great run that they've had since June, I just keep tempering my expectations, almost like I can't let my emotions go there because I'm going to be disappointed. And it's been great. And my wife reminds me all the time that, like, enjoy it. You're in the playoffs. Enjoy it. It's like I can't even sit down and watch the game because I just want to know that they won. Which is just nuts.
Well, you do have to enjoy, though, Derek. You have to enjoy the process or enjoy, you know, the buildup of a season. If you, as a Met fan, I'm not saying you didn't, but I'm just saying in general, because I do think there are a lot of Met fans. Gio's one of them, and he just was, you know, not overly negative on this team, but because he's been burned so many times before, didn't want to buy in. Well, if you were a Met fan like that and you didn't want to buy in, you missed a fun ride here. Me this morning was not overly negative about, oh, they're going to lose tonight. I never once said that. I was just reacting to what was a horrible performance last night. And Derek, we wish you the best of luck in your battle with prostate cancer. You get back to us. We appreciate you listening and taking the time to call. And, of course, we hope the Mets win, not only for us, but for you as well.
Oh, I want them to win for Derek.
Enjoy
now.
The game. But I was not negative on this team tonight or moving forward. And I have not had that, oh, here we go again. The other shoe's going to drop. Not at all this year. Maybe deep down, like, there's always that, I think just a sports fan in general, you're always afraid, to Derek's point, like, you're afraid to love because you don't want to be hurt.
Mm.
And that's part of where the anger comes from last night. I was angry last night because they blew an opportunity to avoid this stressful, stressful game that we're going to be in for tonight, knowing that it might end their season suddenly. That sucks. So that's where the anger comes from, but it was never like overly negative about this team or this game even in particular.
No, I think that you've been, you know, outside of the first hour or so when you were you know, lighting up Pete and rightfully so. I didn't hear you once say that you think they were going to lose tonight, or you know, that negativity just kind of seeping. You don't know what's going to happen. Neither do I. That's one thing I've always said about the Jets. I've said this a million times. Come on. I mean, you can wake up and think the day's going to be good, or you can wake up and think the day's going to suck. I mean, to make the choice. And I can't make it for you. Sal can't make it for you. Now, it doesn't change the result.
It is surprising, though, to hear Derek say, like, all the stuff that he's gone through, like real life issues.
No, that puts it in.
But you would think that maybe you would take a little enjoyment. Like, don't let the game stress you out that much. I know that's tough for us to say as sports fans, but if you're not getting enjoyment out of it, and maybe that's to his point, like, I don't even want to watch because I don't even enjoy it anymore.
See, that I don't understand.
If you're not getting enjoyment out of it.
I don't know. To me, the nervousness, the butterflies, the anticipation, the anger, the hope, the fleeting hope. I mean, all those things that we go through, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you don't have that, you have apathy. And when you have apathy, it's time to flip off the tube and stop watching.
Who the hell was Sean Hannity, by the way?
Political comment. Oh, okay. Vox. Right. You know Sean.
Was that an insult? Or?
No. And Rachel is more left, so he basically referenced a left and a right right-wing political voice.
All right. Well, we appreciate you listening, Derek. And seriously, get better with your fight, obviously. Hope everything goes well. And we hope that you get to enjoy the game tonight. It's going to be intense for a lot of us. Hopefully the result is what
we
want.
We gotta get a Sal Cam. We gotta get a camera on you here.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
A little Sal Cam. What do you think? Can we work on this?
I'm trying to think of, like, play it through. Like, go home and my wife, you know.
Were you at SNY tonight?
Yes, but we're on at 5:30 tonight because of the earlier start time.
Okay, and
but either
it's the
way,
holiday,
like,
Jewish house, so you'll get home a little quicker?
I should be able to get home a little quicker. Nice. So as soon as the show is over at 6, I fly home. What is first pitch, 7:08?
7:38, I think. Hold on. Yankees is 7:38.
It is 7:08.
7:08.
So I should be home, if not for first pitch, right around.
Did you roll the DVR?
Now, like, YouTube TV, it's all basically.
Oh, that's right. You feeling good? Feeling better?
I wouldn't say I'm feeling good.
But you're not feeling bad.
I'm not feeling bad. I'm over the anger of yesterday.
Yeah.
I just can't even believe, like, the season now is going to come down to just the one game. Well, it was a little different with the doubleheader because you always had the cushion of game two.
Mm-hmm.
The cushion has run out. This is now it. The Mets have their officially backs against the wall.
What sweatshirt are you wearing today? Tell everybody.
I'm wearing my Macho Man Randy Savage
sweatshirt. What's one of his best promos? The what?
Cream of the crop.
The cream will what?
Rise to the top.
Mm-hmm. You feeling it?
I don't know if the Mets are.
Oh, man. You know what he says? The cream will rise to the top.
I like that, BT. Not bad.
There you go. Make it happen.
I know, but.
You're just not sure if it's going to happen.
I don't know if the Brewers are the cream of the crop or the Mets are. BT and Sal, all the fan, more your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019 on the fan. It's weird not talking about the Yankees, who had the best record in the American League, number one seed overall, have a nice bye here, get rested, get loaded up. We still haven't seen their postseason roster, but we know Carlos Rodon is going to start game two behind Gerrit Cole. They'll take the field in game one on Saturday night against the opponent. We know the opponent. We know a lot that's going on here, but weird, like, the Yankees have taken a backseat because of this long layoff.
It's a little frustrating, but it is what it is. I mean, Saturday, by the way, here's the schedule. You want it?
Yes.
So the Yankees, all right, Saturday game one, 6:38. Interesting start time. 6:38.
Yeah, which is weird. Why wouldn't it be 7:30 start?
Don't have the answer. That's on TBS Saturday. Then it's Monday, so it's not Sunday. It's Monday. Saturday, Monday, that's at 7:38. That's obviously in the Bronx. And then it's Wednesday in Kansas City. And then, if necessary, Thursday in Kansas City, and then Saturday back in the Bronx. Be determined time wise.
Sorry, BT. I'm curious how you're lining up your weekend viewing.
Mm.
Forget the Mets for a second. Let's not put the Mets in or out.
Okay.
You have Yankees Saturday night, Jets 9:30.
Oof.
I mean, the rest of the football is easy. Giants at 4:25, assuming no Mets. Obviously,
Yankees might be a fire pit game. That might be a...
Like, sit out back and watch?
Oh, yeah. Get a little loose.
Okay.
Real loose. And then wake up and feel like ass and watch the Jets and the Vikings at 9:30.
Now, how's that? Because I'm curious about that. For me, whatever. Like, but to ramp up that intensity as a fan,
I'll do it.
At 9:30 in the morning.
I'll do it. You got to remember, I lived on the West Coast for 2 years. So, you know, I did it back then.
One of the things I loved about my honeymoon was that we get to watch football. Early. Like, I liked it at that
time. Where'd you go, Hawaii? We went to Hawaii.
So I remember even, I think the Sunday night game was Giants-Cowboys, but it was on, like, at 5 o'clock, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool having
It's not bad. And this is the thing, like, even, well, I mean, this is when we were, you know, basically have action on every single game. Think about the Big Ten, a lot of noon kickoffs, 9 a.m. on a Saturday.
I don't know if I could get used to that.
It's a lot, dude. It's almost overwhelming because, like, you feel like as soon as you wake up, I got to get the bets in.
But
it's almost too much.
Right, but the good thing is that when it's done, you have the whole day. Like, for us, 1 o'clock football is, it's all day long. It's directly, like, you can't really do much before. And once it starts.
Midnight, basically,
that's
by the time.
It.
Yeah.
So if it were, and that's why you get the West Coast better weather, you want to watch the games early, get it out of the way, and then you go do whatever you got to do with your day. But we don't have that here. I don't know which one I'd prefer, but I think watching football, it just feels better watching it later than it does earlier today.
Yeah, I think it depends what stage of life you're. You know, I get if you have young kids. It really depends. This is a big weekend for me. This is a big night for you. It's a big weekend for me.
And if the
Yankees and the Jets.
And if the Mets do win, now you could throw 2 games at 4 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Mets 4:08, Yankees 6:30,
mm-hmm.
Jets 9:30.
Giants.
Mets 4:08, Giants 4:25.
I don't think Neighbors is playing, so I'm not saying, you know, watch the Giants, but the Giants are very quickly fourth on the list there.
Giants are starting to fall off a little bit.
Yeah. I hope not. He hasn't done any football-related activities. I doubt he's playing. I mean, I don't think he is.
Well, if they lose this game, how can you justify making the Giants relevant?
Only because the division's not good. Or not as good as we thought.
I know, but even what does that mean?
I know. Well, that gives you a little hope. It kind of stretches things out another few weeks.
Not
much more than that, Sal.
So disappointing that, yet again, with the Giants, the record. Now, again, that's if they lose. We'll get more into that tomorrow, maybe, and discuss it. Obviously, it's been a baseball day and all that. But without Neighbors in Seattle, coming off a loss, you're staring 1-4 right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And 1-4, I'm sorry. Like, it's not like they're, you know, a highly talented 1-4. They're a team that wasn't expected to do much to begin with, and they'd be 1-4. It's almost season over at that point.
Well, we were talking about pressure before, and you started this asking about the Yankees, then obviously, you know, the kind of the viewing of the weekend. If the Yankees were to lose this series, do you think that they get rid of Boone?
I do.
I do, too.
I think if the Yankees lose this series, they get rid of Boone.
Yeah, I don't know how they don't.
Imagine how tight they'd be if they lose if they ever lost game one Monday night.
Then giving the ball to Rodon, hoping that the good Rodon shows up. I believe it more than you, but I don't know how much you want to push that.
I just don't think Kansas City is enough offensively. I know going around a little bit. We'll get more into the Yankees.
But Kansas City put stress on you. First of all, we're all assuming that it's going to be Judge or Soto. Witt very well might be the best player over the course of the series. You don't know.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
I do think, though, I like that topic. Maybe save that for tomorrow. I'm making a note of it. Boone needs this series. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't even crossed my mind, honestly. It hasn't even crossed my mind that the Yankees would lose this series.
Yeah.
But if they do, I think he's a goner.
I do, too.
That's a problem for the Yankees. Yeah, you got big weekend for you, bud.
It's a big weekend, buddy.
Yankees game one, uh-huh. Jets.
I can't wait. It's what it's about. Let's go.
Jets lose that game. You're hoping Salah's going to be a goner.
I honestly would fire him. They won't. I would.
BT and Sal on the fan.
Pink slips left and right all of a sudden in the last 2 minutes on the show.
Joe is calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, man? Listen, I flew to the game yesterday. I got 2 quick points, and then I had a question for you guys. The biggest problem that Mendoza had yesterday was not leaving Span again. I know we talked about bringing in Mason, bringing in Diaz early. But Stanek has pitched against the Brewers the last time out, 11 pitches, no hit. Pitched yesterday, 11 pitches, 9 strikes, no hit. Going upper 90s, why take this guy out for Maton? That was just the first biggest.
Well, and by the way, Joe, I'll let you finish, my man. But obviously, what Mendoza said is he liked the matchup, whereas Maton thrown softer stuff. And Churio's, you know, looking dead red, and he didn't like the matchup the other way. That's it. I mean, that's what he said. Whether you buy it or not, that's what he said.
Right. I mean, to me, it makes no sense. Like, being at that game, you see that they had nothing Hispanic, but yet you take them out after 11 pitches.
Well, Joe, let me just ask you, though. When has Ryan Stanek pitched more than one inning?
Hey, this is the playoffs, man.
No, that's not the answer. He's a one-inning pitcher. Okay, well, I'm looking at it here because I know Stanek is a one-inning pitcher, and thank you for the call. Let's look at the old game log. Let's pull it up. Okay. The last time Stanek pitched more than one inning, he pitched an inning and two-thirds in a 7-0 game at San Diego, August 23rd. Prior to that, let's see the old game log here. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Still nothing, and I'm into May. Still, as I go back, still nothing. Oh, here it is. April 21st, when Stanek was with Houston, he pitched two innings in an extra inning ballgame. So Ryan Stanek, all year long, has pitched in two games that he's thrown more than one inning. One was in August, an inning and two-thirds in a 7-0 game. The other was two innings against the Rockies in April when he was with the Astros. He's not a two-inning pitcher.
I personally look at pitches thrown more so than outs accrued, even though, you know, there's something to lean on. I see both sides.
Well, the up-down, you're right. Like, you could look at it either way, but
yeah,
he's just, either way, he has not done it.
But would you rather, now here's, which is the lesser of the two evils, would you rather have somebody with better stuff who's doing something he doesn't do often? Or somebody who's more in a conventional role who had nothing.
I also think that Phil Maton is better than Stanek. That's the other thing.
Like, yeah, but last night he didn't look it. And you got to react to that. I know it's easy to say that, but you got to react to that.
Well, but
he was flat.
But that's different. Reacting to that is different than saying you would have had Stanek pitch two innings.
Yeah.
Like, you're either making the decision to do something with Ryan Stanek, who's got an ERA that's just under 5 on a year. Now, he's looked better as of late, but, I mean, there was a point in the year when the Mets got him. I was like, man, this guy? He's gasoline for the fire.
Right,
so,
yeah.
All right, but he's looked better as of late, but it doesn't mean you're going to stretch him for two innings, especially when you have Maton there and Diaz. Like, he did what he needed to do. He gave his clean inning, and you move on to the next guy. I don't think Stanek for two would have been the answer. Getting Maton out earlier, sure, but Stanek for two, he just hasn't done it. BT and Sal on the fan will come back, have a little card game as you do the baseball cards. Also work in your calls as well, and something at 1 o'clock I want to get into about tonight's game as well, and the Yankees tickets still to give away, so stay tuned for that. BT and Sal on the fan.
Now, time for Game Time Without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, here we go. Got a couple of packs of baseball cards here. We've been doing football. We're going to go back to baseball here for the postseason. I have one pack of 1987 Tops that we've used before. Actually, we used this, well, yeah, Game 7 of the World Series that we did last year. So we'll do that. I'll read them to you. But, BT, before we do that,
yeah,
I also have a pack of these Tops Leaders cards, and I think they're from either 85 or 86.
Looks like it's 87, Sal.
80. See, it says on the back there, 1986.
Okay, yep, 86.
Okay, anyway, so there's six cards in each.
I've never seen these before. This is like
I do remember having these.
You do?
As a kid, yeah.
Wow.
They're smaller cards,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I figured,
very small.
Let's go head-to-head here and see if we could run the table.
Okay.
Because these are all league leaders at the time in 86.
All right.
So let's do that before we get to the pack. This will go quick. You want to go first?
Yeah, all right. So, Toby Hara.
Oh, jeez.
I know. None of these going to be as easy as you think here.
Cleveland?
He is with the Texas Rangers at this point.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Who the hell is that?
Look at that. Look at that card right there. Toby.
Yeah. Oh,
he's got the high socks, the high stirrups.
I'm already over. What else?
Now, what did he lead the league in, though?
No,
based on official rank. It doesn't really say.
All right. I can't see.
Toby Hara.
Okay.
Brett Butler.
86 Tops. Mm. Brett Butler. He was with Cleveland.
Yes. There you go. One for two. Jack Clark.
He was with... I'm going to say the Cardinals.
Yep, two for three. Really, the only power source they had in that lineup. Danny Cox.
Also Cardinals.
Yes, sir.
Lefty
nice
pitcher.
Job, Yourself. He's a righty pitcher.
A righty pitcher? I thought he was lefty pitcher.
Righty. Righty pitcher. Okay. How about Glenn Wilson? As we zoom through it. These cards are cool. I like
Phillies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good outfielder, call. Glasses.
Yeah, I believe. Was Glenn a catcher or not? He was an outfielder.
Okay.
Yep, four for five. And the last one is Ryan Sandberg. So you got five out of six. There you go.
Yeah, see, I told you, should run the table. All right, here you go. Ready? This is a quickie. Appetizer. Okay.
Yes.
Keith Hernandez.
Mets.
Look at this card, dude. Tell me that.
Oh, it was the helmets off.
Helmet
off.
Yeah, that's just such a cool
thing. Like Alvarez. All those Mets can't keep their helmets on.
George Brett.
Royals.
Charlie Liebrandt.
Charlie Liebrandt's a pitcher at this point. Oh, boy. He may have been on the Royals. Hold on. Let me just think. Definitely a pitcher. Dodgers, Cardinals. I would say the Royals.
Yes, it is the Royals. There you go. 3 for 3. And fitting. 2 Royals as we get ready for Yankees Royals.
Okay.
Gorman Thomas.
Brewers, outfielder. Ooh. Right? Or Seattle.
Seattle.
I was a little quick on
now,
that.
Now, wait. Was he with
Higashioka? The home run stroker.
Yeah, so he was what? What year was that now?
Was he with the, this was 86 Tops, was he with the Brewers before? Or did you just...
He was with the Brewers earlier, because he was on the 82 team, the Brewers team that they referenced last night, the last Brewers team to come back with a trailing after 7 in the postseason. That was the 82 team. That was Gorman Thomas. That was Robin Yount. That was Molitor. That was Ben Ogilvie.
I didn't know if you just misspoke real quick, but okay.
My bad.
Dale Murphy.
Braves back-to-back MVPs.
Joaquin Andujar.
Joaquin Andujar was a Cardinal, pitcher at that point. Yeah. Very animated, kind of a nut job, who was a good pitcher.
All right, so there you go. That was fun little appetizer. Yeah. All right, now I get the real cards here. We'll go quickly.
Practice?
Yeah, well, I figured with the league leaders, it's cool because you're going to have popular names in there. But how about that? We couldn't even run the table. You should have. All right.
This is 87, Sal?
Yeah, 87 all tops. Right. Okay, let's get
87.
Brett Butler.
Indians.
Yes.
All right. The Indians. What do we
rookie
got?
Rookie card. Tops All-Star rookie. Wally Joyner.
Wally's World. The big SI article. Sports Illustrated. California Angels.
Yes. I remember this card as a kid. Like, just pulling that card was a big deal.
He was good. He was a good player.
Jim Fregosi. Manager's card.
Jim Fregosi. All right. The White Sox is... Let me just go through the process here. Maybe in the Cubs as well. Jim Fregosi. 87. When did La Russa get to the White Sox there? All right, Tony was with the White Sox, so it's not him. I say Cubs.
White Sox.
Damn it.
I don't even remember this card, nor do I remember Fregosi with the White Sox. I remember La Russa 86 tops with the White Sox.
Yeah.
So that's, I definitely want to get that. All right, Gary Ward.
Gary Ward was an outfielder.
Yep.
He was a right-handed hitter.
Yep.
He was, let me just go through the process, he was either a Yankee or a Twin at this point. And we're doing 1987?
Yeah.
I think that Gary Ward was on the Yankees at this point. No, wait, 87. Hold on. I'm going to say Yankees. Twins?
Rangers.
Ooh.
Twins from 79 through 82. I think the Yankees is a good guess because he might have been.
He was definitely on the Yankees
like
after
at some point that
no
year.
No question.
So he went from the Twins to the Rangers
outfield.
In this card. Yeah.
Nah.
Frank Williams. I don't think I've ever heard of him.
I mean, Frank Williams, the point guard for the Knicks, Illinois. Seattle.
San Francisco.
All right, 2 for 5.
Ernie Witt.
Ernie Witt was Blue Jay.
Yes.
Let's go.
Good call.
Thank
catcher,
you.
I believe, right?
Yes.
Brian Fisher.
Brian Fisher was a pitcher who threw gas, who was eventually on the Yankees for a minute. He may have been on the Pirates here. I'm going to say Pirates.
Ah, Yanks.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm right around the ball.
I know. Those are frustrating. Ozzie Smith.
Ah, Cardinals.
Alan Ashby.
Astros.
Yes. Ron Washington.
Ooh. Rangers or Twins? Ron may have been the Twins at this point.
Final answer?
Twins.
Twins. Good call.
Nice.
Lee Lacy.
Lee Lacy was an outfielder, and I see him in a Pirates uniform. May have messed around with the Phillies for a minute. Lefty swinger. I'll say Pirates.
Orioles.
Ooh.
He was with the Pirates before that for a long time. So
I remember him playing against the Mets a lot on Channel 9.
He was Dodgers, Pirates, and he was with the Orioles here. Ron Guidry.
Yankees.
Oh, that card. This card just brings you back.
Oh, I've seen that card a million times.
It's so cool. Lance McCullers.
Pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his son is a major leaguer. A lot of arm issues. Lance McCullers could have been the Yankees for a minute. Could have been Toronto. I say Toronto.
Padres.
Ah.
I think this is when he first came up with San Diego.
Okay.
Maybe a couple years in. Ted Simmons.
Good player. Really good catcher. Okay, I always get this mixed up. Ted Simmons was...
Right, you got to get the timeline right.
Yeah, Cardinals or Brewers here. Hold on. Ted Simmons... Whoa, this is going to really annoy me if I mess this up, but I might. Ted Simmons was a good player. Damn it.
I want to give you a hint
Daryl Porter, like, I get those two mixed up. Go ahead, give me a hint.
It's not the Cardinals or the Brewers.
Wow. Tigers?
Braves. 87 tops. He was with the Brewers for, Cardinals forever. Brewers for 4 or 5 years here, and then 86, and then this card 87 tops. Ted Simmons with the Braves.
I should get that one. That's bothersome.
Omar Moreno.
Omar Moreno was no longer with the Pirates at this point. Played outfield. Maybe the switch hitter could run. Omar Moreno was with the Yankees for a minute, but not in 87.
Well, you definitely know who he is.
I definitely know who he is. Omar Moreno. You know what? This is going to be... Nah, it wasn't. I'm not even going to say Pirates because Van Slyke was there. Bonds at this point. Oh, man. I'm having a rough time here. Maybe somewhere out west? Giants. Not the Dodgers. Giants?
He was with the Pirates, Astros, the Yankees.
Yeah.
1 year with the Royals, and then with Atlanta.
Atlanta. I don't remember him with the Braves at all.
Last one, and this is fitting. Brett Saberhagen.
Brett! Royals! Wow, a lot of Royals there. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know. Last two you got right. Guidry and Saberhagen. It's a little history. Little Yankees, Royals.
Nice.
All right, that was fun. Not a bad pack there. I like some of those old names. You know, the baseball ones, the names are just so familiar, which is fun.
Well, it's better than football when we basically get every single one wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Barely even know the names of some of the football players, which is just odd. I mean, for me, I didn't have football cards growing up. But anyway, there you have it. We'll come back, and we have something that I want to get to that pertains to tonight's game that we have not discussed yet. Mets. Must-win game tonight, otherwise their season is over. But why losing tonight might not be the worst thing that they could endure this year. We'll get to that. BT and Sal on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.